Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mike Sadie going to join us in just a few. We'll talk to him about his great career at WREG News Channel 3. Looking forward to that.
It's crazy. I didn't know before yesterday we'd be summing his career up.
Right, right.
Right?
Kind of came out of nowhere.
It really did.
So we didn't get a chance to give Mike the, you know, farewell tour, you know, the Kobe farewell tour.
But, exactly.
You know, we're going to do our best to give him his flowers here on the show. So he'll be in studio with us at 12:25. But in the meantime, between time, let's do a little thing we call the rundown. First of all, rest in peace, Jane Goodall. We didn't mention her yesterday. She passed at the age of 91. Jane Goodall, of course, renowned for her scientific understanding of chimpanzees through decades of observation, passed away October the 1st, yesterday, of natural causes. She was awesome. She was awesome, and I think she deserves her flowers on this show for her work with understanding chimpanzees. Maybe it did not mean much to you, but meant much to me as we continue to further our understanding of primates.
Since we're doing announcements, a belated birthday to Malcolm Rawls, too, friend of the show.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Former East High standout.
Thank you for
birthday
being
was yesterday.
Born.
Thanks for doing the announcements portion of
Jane
the show.
Goodall,
it's like church.
Jane Goodall. NCAA tournament expansion is coming. It's inevitable. And it's coming as soon as next year. The Field of 68 will be no more. It will have to rebrand, finally. On3's Ross Dellinger is reporting that while an agreement is not yet finalized, NCAA executives are inching towards an expansion that will see a move from 68 teams in March Madness to, not 72, 76. Eight new teams will be joining the field of the NCAA tournament. It could start as early as next season, like I said, not 25-26, but 26-27. So, you know, we have that first four, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's played on the Tuesday and the Wednesday ahead of the full game slates later in the week.
Thursday and Friday.
That will now be considered the opening round. They're not going to call it the first round, but they're going to really treat it like the opening round. And I believe it will have 24 teams playing in 12 games over the 2 days. So it's going to look different. It's going to feel different. It will the new format, according to On3, will include 12 lower-seeded automatic qualifiers and 12 at-large selections, with 8 extracted from the main bracket and 8 at-large picks added thanks to the expansion, now adding a play-in game to reach the field of 64. So it's kind of confusing, honestly. I would need to kind of see a bracket, but the long and short of it is 8 new teams and an opening round of 12 games, it sounds like, as opposed to just the first 4, 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
and then you go to the first round. So it's kind of cluttered up a little bit. I mean, look, it's good news for, I'm just going to say it, it's good news for Memphis. It just is. It's good news for the Tigers because, I mean, what year has there been where Memphis has not been a top 76 team in the country? Maybe the end of 23-24 when they just completely fell off the map. But most other years under Penny Hardaway, they've been right there on that cut line. You know, I mean,
it's probably better news for the American.
Better news for the American gets them
for the
a little
conference itself.
That's right.
Since the departure of Houston and the FAUs, right? You've always had one that's kind of close to you, or not close to Memphis, but close in the sense of maybe making the tournament. But is you know, has missed, so you know, just barely and been on the bubble. Who was it? Why can I not think of who it was last year? Was it North Texas?
North Texas was on the bubble, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it's good. Was it UAB a couple of years before? I mean, it's all
– UAB made it. They won the tournament. But, yeah.
My point would be for those teams that, yes, those AAC teams, I think it's bigger than – because Memphis is typically that. We certainly expect that of Penny Hardaway, that you're a top 68, certainly a top 64, whatever year. You know, you want to look at it as.
Yep.
I need to go to 64 because we don't even look at Memphis's.
Right.
You should be in the play-in game. You know, that's the way we typically slice things around here. But no, man, it's good for the American. Pernetti's happy.
Yes. So
get a second team in now.
Yeah. You
God forbid a third.
Could
maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think the product is a little saturated. What happens.
I'm pushing against hope because I would tell you this league, and clearly you look at the coaches, I don't think it's taking basketball, and John's talked about this as the state of athletics is thing, this sort of shift to this league is not taking basketball as serious as it is football.
Yep.
With what you've seen with the coaching changes, the improvements on the football side of things. And I think it's the way you have to go now.
Yep.
So I don't see this league ever getting better from a basketball side. The way the football way the football side has gotten better, I just don't see it happening for basketball.
Yeah, and I think you know the other part of it that I guess my skepticism would be of those eight new teams, they're mostly probably going to be Power Five teams. You know,
100%. Yeah, you're gonna get two more. The last two of the SEC that you didn't get in last year.
Right.
You already know.
You know, or like, you know, the AC, you know, just whatever the case may be. It feels like, you know, there was a case like when, like 2 years ago when Illinois State was left out.
Mm-hmm.
That was controversial. And this would maybe help on that fringe. But by and large, it feels like this is just more access it will ultimately be treated as more access for the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, the Big East, et cetera. You know, as opposed to helping out. You know, but Memphis, for example, like if there was ever a situation where they were on the bubble, it would help Memphis because they're a brand.
Mm-hmm.
They're bigger than their league, right? I mean, it could help Memphis. I don't think it would help, you know, Temple if they were a team that was on that cut line or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I'm joking, but I'm not joking about every SEC team making it. I mean, was it LSU last year and South Carolina? LSU was really bad.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Those teams get unbelievable opportunities because of the league that they play in.
Absolutely.
And I could absolutely – and look, I mean, LSU, it's LSU, right? I mean, and at some point, it's going to get better for them, you figure. And so, I mean, I'm not joking literally when I say it could end up being all 16 because, remember, again, the opportunities even the bottom feeders will get. There's a couple of quad one wins for you if they can pull off the upset. Yes, everybody's focused on football, but in that league, my gosh, from a basketball standpoint – the advantages you have. It's a couple of ranked teams every week is what you're playing in the SEC. So I'm with John that it'll end up more opportunity for the P4s and probably for the entire, you know, for the big boys.
And it's coming. It's coming as soon as next year. So get ready. This will be the last year of Field of 68. But the good news is that Rob has already reserved the Field of 76 Twitter account.
Yeah, you guys think about yourselves, what you always do.
Yeah, well, you have to.
Think about this as it affects the whole world. How are we, the type on the bracket now is going to be so small, I'm not going to be able to read it. When we have a bracket, think about it, when we have a bracket on a page, it's going to have to be so tiny because, y'all are feeling me. I see it. It's going to have to be so tiny because we're putting so many dang teams on now. I can barely read the thing as it is the older I get. The thing is going to be crowded now. It's going to be in a tiny font. Those are the kind of things that will affect all of us.
Yes, it will. It will. It's a brutal beat.
That's a con of this thing.
It's more basketball, so I'm cool with that. But I mean, it just dilutes the product. I think in a way that there's not that, you know, part of the
Maybe not enough that we'll notice early enough.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, I just think like it doesn't help your regular season. There's already 30 plus games. You know, I don't think it makes people more interested. I mean, because that is the problem, right? People don't really watch college basketball until January or February when NFL is over. That's kind of like the demarcation, you know, point there. It's like, all right, this is when we start to get serious about college basketball. Well, you know, now that, you know, 76, I mean, that's what? Basically a fourth, not a whole fourth, but you're close to 25% of the sport making the tournament, you know. I mean,
we probably won't look at it like that once it starts, though, because every year, once it does, we say this is one of the best days in sports.
Yeah.
No, it'll still be
that. When the games are from the top to the bottom.
Yeah, it'll still be right. Once we get there.
And I don't think this is enough of an ad in terms of, I know you said they're going to act like that, you know, that we've got a first round now and they'll feel more so, but I just, that point, that time is so electric once it starts. They clearly feel like, well, yeah, yes, we can add more. We're going to keep that same electricity. And I imagine, again, because you're only adding, you know, in this sense, you know, what is it, eight?
Right.
That it'll still be that way.
Yeah.
As opposed to say, well, there's too many in now. Now, there's a point where you get to that, I do think. But and you lose some of it. And you're right, it dilutes it. But I just we are trained,
right.
John, is the point I'm making.
Well, and
for that to be a special time. And it is, once that music comes on and those games are from, you know, morning until night.
Right. I just worry a little bit.
They know that they're just going to make more money off
that. They'll just keep expanding, ultimately.
That's the concern, is more expansion after this.
Like, how many, like,
then
where
you,
do you...
Then you really dilute.
Where do you stop? Is this it? I mean, do you go to 84?
Well, when something's a money machine, how, you know, you're going to keep hitting that thing like Mario and Luigi.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Until it stops and goes the other way.
So, I mean, this is one step, but it does feel as though it's coming. Expansion on the way for the NCAA tournament.
We got a good one tonight on Thursday Night Football, and since it's a couple 3-1s, now they're in different states. John read through the whole injury list for San Francisco, and it's just about everybody there in that first hour. They do have Christian McCaffrey available, but it's going to be Mac who?
Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
Who is he a winner now? They are 3-1.
No.
Is Mac Jones turned himself into a winning quarterback?
No.
Yes or no?
John says no. He got with Kyle Shanahan, and he's winning. The 49ers are winning in spite of Mac Jones, as opposed to Mac Jones winning himself.
Yes. It's indeed two teams operating on two different levels, although, again, 49er fans, we are impressed by the way you've navigated the start of the season. Nobody would wish what you guys have gone through injury-wise on anyone. And so from that standpoint, Shanahan's been good. That said, the Rams have been a different kind of good, especially offensively of late. Puka Nacua is coming off of a 13-reception, 170-yard game and a touchdown against the Colts. Rams came back fourth quarter because that's what Matthew Stafford does. This dude, we don't talk enough about him.
I know.
John and I were arguing when this show started, George, years ago about whether Stafford was a top 10. And the crazy thing is, we've been doing the show for like 10 years, 10 years, and this dude is still out here throwing for 375 and coming.
It is nuts.
Fourth quarter comebacks. We talk so much about Brady and all those older guys, and they moved on now. But I just, Aaron Rodgers, what this dude is doing at this high level, and I get, what is he, 37, 38, somewhere in there? He's not up there past 40 yet. But what this high a level, continually each season, the guy plays hurt. It's really impressive. And again, as we said there first hour, you know, John's itching. He's itching to take Niners in the points if he hasn't already done it. But I see, again, same record, but two teams operating completely differently in terms of how they're going about their business right now. Rams are cruising in a way. I know that's, you know, could you say close win over the Colts? They're cruising, though, in a way, especially offensively, that the 49ers are not. And so with the game at home, John's right, it's not much of a home field advantage. I just think Matthew Stafford does more cruising. You know why? Here's the other reason I think so. San Francisco, as banged, did not get a sack last week against Trevor Lawrence. If you are not getting pressure on Matthew Stafford, game over.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched enough NFL,
That's right.
Of Matthew Stafford
right.
to know that. And so remember, who San Francisco lost? Bosa? You know, and John's right, Fred Warner's a good one. But if you are not getting sacks, Fred Warner was out there last week. No sacks on Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville wins. That's sort of how I see it going tonight. Last I looked, Rams 8.5-point favorites. Tonight's on Prime. I think our man Al Michaels will be up for this one. You know, yeah. This is John's favorite, I mean, yeah, favorite play-by-play.
No, I'm a little
pay
nervous.
Homage. I'm make a little sure nervous about it because
it's a dud of a. I mean, it looks a lot worse than it did at the beginning of the season, right? That's the risk you run. It's like this game at the beginning of the season was going to be like it could be for the title, right? It was like Matt Stafford, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, you know, and you're no Brock, no Kittle, no Pearsall, no. I mean, you're just down everything. No Bosa, all the star power for the 49ers is out. So I do think I think we're going to get a little bit of a sleepy effort from Allen tonight. I got to be honest. West Coast, you know.
Herb will offer his usual generic NFL information.
That's right. He'll talk
what
about
he learned from the producer, you know, from the coach's meeting.
Talk about that damn dog.
No. Stop. Keep that to college at least. Don't spread it across the pros.
I think the dog does travel for both, by the way. I think the dog is going to be there. He won't be featured, but he will certainly – speaking of dogs – you want to talk about a dog in the broadcast world? That's Mike Sadie, definition of a DOG. And he called it a career last night, last sportscast on News Channel 3 WREG. And we've known him, obviously, for a long time. And he's going to join us when we get back. We'll talk to him about his career, just being in Memphis, you know, as long as he has and seeing all the changes and in the business. Looking forward to catching up with the great Mike Sadie when we get back. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Been looking forward to this. Mike Sadie's a longtime sports director and anchor at News Channel 3. He's been an absolute staple in this Memphis market for nearly three decades. I think in his final sign-off last night, we could feel how much this man loves this city, how much this man loves this city's people. He's been telling their stories since 1997 here in Memphis, and so it is with the utmost respect and admiration, brother, I'm looking over at him right now, that we welcome the great Mike Sadie to the show. How about a round of applause if we got another one? There we go. Brother, we were joking, we didn't get the farewell tour. You came out of nowhere with this one on us.
No, this is how I wanted it to be. Is, you know, I didn't know what it would take to get on your show. Remember? People have been asking me about those magical moments or important moments in 27 years, 10 months, and 14 days. It's not like I actually know. But you guys remember, Penny, number one class, the Bahamas, only one TV station went.
That's right.
And we were on your show. Bigness, the bigness of things always is there. How I get on the show.
Always there.
It's the only way I get on the show is to do something like that. So, you know, I said, you know what? I'm going to step away because you guys keep using this retirement word. I got to find another job now. But, you know, you guys have been, you know, friends of mine for a very long time. And what Memphis means to you guys is what it means to me from somebody who wasn't born here. So, I said it last night. I've been emotional for a couple of days because, like you said, it's been quiet. It's been something the station and I were working together for about 8 weeks.
Okay.
But, like I said, my priorities changed, and growing up in Memphis, and my kids were born here. I missed a lot with them. And my daughter just made me a grandpa 5 months ago to Little Knox. And that face, when he had some issues in the hospital with the NICU, and I put a growl towel over him when he was in the NICU, I realized then that I didn't want to miss things. I didn't want to see videos or miss this or that.
Yep.
And I think that I, 35 years in this business and 28 of them almost here.
Yeah.
It was just time. I've hit this crossroads many times, and I think all of us know it's easy to just do what you've been doing.
Yep.
And for the first time this morning, I woke up since I was 21 years old not knowing what I'm going to do next.
How exciting.
People are saying that, but they're not in my shoes.
Yeah,
it
right?
It is exciting to see what's...
He's sitting on that side.
Right, that's right.
But there's no... I don't disregard or think I should change my mind. You know, people are like, are you sure? The station was great about that. And a lot of times I've come to this crossroads. And like I said, I've stayed with the station. It's easy. It's what you're good at. And,
yep.
and I feel like Barry Sanders, I still feel like I'm kind of at my prime, but it's time to walk away. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm leaving in great hands. And, I do the Coach Ryan Silverfield show, and I gave him a big hug Monday after I talked to him for the last time. And I thought when I left that day, I was like, what are you, stupid? You're leaving in it with a chance that this Tiger team is going to play in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
I was there in 2019. We talked about it. Beale Street, College Game Day.
Yeah.
We beat the crap out of SMU, and you go to the Cotton Bowl. But this is bigger. John, you're right. There is no season that will be bigger than this season if they just do what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
You know, Tulane, home. Navy, home. South Florida, home. Just don't do what you have a habit of doing and lose games you shouldn't lose.
Yeah. That's right.
And Tiger fans, if you have not supported this team,
yep.
If you weren't there for Arkansas, that place was crazy. Support this team because I think there's just something different about them, and it could be a great December and January for that Tiger football
team. I agree. I'm really more interested in talking about you, though.
No, sorry. You see how I switched right into that thing?
No, but I mean, that's exactly right.
We're dealing with a pro right here.
What? So you're done. That's it. Last night was it.
That was it.
What was the biggest change from when you came in 97 to as you leave in 2025? Just about the business, about being in there every day. I know people are great, but the business evolves.
Well, you know, when I got there, it was really, you know, local stories and really hammering Memphis, which I loved. But it was really about 6-10. Glenn Carver, Mike Sadie.
Yes, sir.
6-10. That's when we were at. You know, nowadays, you don't have to wait for Mike Sadie at 6-10, you know, especially in the last 15 years or whatever. You know, Ja hammers over somebody, and I'm like, man, I'm going to show that thing this way and that way. Well, everybody's seen it a million times by the time 10 rolls around. Not only that, but also
it was different in 97 when social media.
It wasn't the big deal.
So that was like people probably didn't even see it
right.
By the time 6 o'clock rolled around.
If they heard it, they were like, what? They did what? Oh, you know, Mike will have it on, or Glenn will have it on, or other stations would have it on. But now it's so instantaneous. So because of that, you start doing other things, and you're going to streaming, and you're going to, and you just continue to add on to that. So the stuff that you like to focus on, like those stories that you did so well as a prep writer
at the
Commercial Appeal, is that, you know, I really am envious of beat writers because their sole focus is on that one thing.
Yep.
And man, in this town, are we lucky to have the beat writers that we have? I know that you do this and you do a little bit more, John, as well. But those guys, they give you things that I can't get because I'm dealing with five local teams here, and you know and then you're dealing with everything else, and you got coaches' shows, and you got other shows that you're doing. You start getting cut down.
Absolutely.
And there's so much more 28 years later than it was when I got here. When I got here, I was just Memphis. Man, this town is great. I'm going to tell this story and that story. And I did for a long time. But now there's just so much more asked of you.
And there were, you had reporters too, didn't you? It was more than just you and Glenn. I mean, you had other people that you could have. Hey, you go to Ole Miss this weekend. You go here. Yeah. Like, were there more of those kinds of people?
Well, when I got here, when I got the job, obviously the late, great George Lapidus.
Yep.
And then it was Glenn, and then me and Casey Norton were brought in at the same time. I was going to be the weekend anchor. He was going to be the sports reporter. And so if you think about that, you had four people in the department. We didn't have a sports photographer at the time, but then we got Ron Guidry, who's absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
And then after Jeff worked his way through the outdoor show, I mean, he told the story on your show. You know, they were like, do you want to stay as a news photographer? And he's like, absolutely. And we were able to kind of like, man, can we use them too?
Mm-hmm.
And then it became like, we just need them. And for that, I have found out in the last 8 weeks, not something I didn't know over the 15, 18 years that we worked every day together, but my job became so much harder, Collins, too, over the last 8 weeks, just because we didn't have him.
Yep.
I could just say, oh, my gosh, the Grizzlies just called a press conference, man. It's in 30 minutes. I know you live at Cooper Young. It's 28 minutes to get downtown, so you got 2 minutes to get ready, and he's there.
That's amazing.
I mean, he'll tell you. He's like, he never knew what his days off were, and every time the phone rang and it was me, he didn't want to answer it because he'd answer like, hello, because he knew something was changing. You know, those kind of people are rare because, you know, you could just depend on them matter the time, the day. I don't know if the man ever had 2 days off.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that's
in our business, you know, sometimes it happens, but he's like,
horse.
I'm off Monday, I'm off Thursday, because whenever something was happening, he was doing it. But, John, that's the biggest change, is that when I was, 28 years old when I got here, and, you know, it was just fun. The relationships I had with coaches, to this day, I was so blessed in 2018 to replace my mentor in Glenn Carver, and I was like, this is awesome. I'm a sports director for the second time, but man, every Friday night when I was at the station getting Friday Sports Overtime ready, I was on Twitter following these scores, and I'm like, I miss that. Yeah, I made a mention of I'm stepping away now because I missed a lot with my kids and their athletes. But when I was at games and I was able to talk to coaches in the pregame and make jokes to them about, man, we're not going to be there until halftime, so hold up some of your offensive plays because we need highlights. You know, those are the kind of things I miss, because in the last 8 years, I haven't really been to a lot of high school things that I wish I could have been.
Yeah.
You know, being downtown, really quick to jump out and see the Tigers or the Grizzlies.
Right.
And I did that a lot because it was right there. But you spend so much time preparing, whether it's for the nightly newscast or specials or projects or all this kind of stuff, that you miss out on those Friday night lights where you're just kind of looking around and realizing, man, there's 5,000 people in here and all they care about are these, you know, 150 kids from these two schools. Most of them will never play again. And your highlight of that kid who scores, that might be something that he keeps to show his
Absolutely.
Kids. Absolutely. But they're not going, they're not five stars. We have a lot of them,
right.
But most of them aren't. So.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff I'm still going to miss to this day.
I thought John nailed it. You've talked about it. I mean, you were the lone guy. You were down there in the Bahamas. You were everywhere. John tweeted about that. I just thought that nailed it so much with you. Pro's pro, I'd say all that. We could go through it. I'm sure we'll ask you all the things you covered. You talked about 2019, that Tigers football team. But because I know the sacrifice you've made, I want to ask you a different question. Because you were everywhere, covering everything for us, there's a sacrifice that's there. You've touched on it, and you know my dad lived it, so I sort of lived it. You missed your family and some of those moments, and you've said you missed a ton, and that's easy to say, but there's a lot. When we say we miss a ton, like my dad missed a ton of those moments of me growing up, some of those games and everything else, man, because he had to think about that 6-10 and that life that he had, and so we sacrificed him. We shared him with Memphis in that, and so much of you being there for us to tell our stories, you gave that up. So, I mean, I just ask you, how much have you? I'm glad you're going to get that chance now. Now, you ain't stopping working. You're going to keep working, but I'm glad you're not going to miss. How much did you miss? Now, I mean, you're talking all those years. Your kids, they grew up. How much of that? That's a whole life in there, brother, that you sacrificed for us.
I'll tell you, missing, like, competitive baseball and softball that my kids played, and I would finish at 6:30. Their game was at 6:45, and I live in DeSoto County in South Haven. They were at Snowden or they were at Greenbrook or whatever, and I would literally take my hour dinner and I'd fly down 55 and be on the fence just to say, I didn't want to be that guy that my dad's never here. My kids knew that even if they couldn't see me that I was going to. But talk about being blessed. Any flat tire, any sort of ticket, any sort of traffic, it would have made things difficult. But the one that stands out the most is, you know, proms and things like that. Those were, you know, I saw pictures. I was able to get to one, I think, my daughter's senior year. I made it. But my son back played football at North Point back in the day. And in 2015, they were 13-0. And I watched him play a full game twice.
Wow.
Now, this is when things were starting to, you know, so many people kept me informed on the phone.
Sure.
But when you get a text, man, your son scored his first touchdown of the year and you're not there.
Mm.
And then when you get it to 13-0, and as that team started getting better and everybody starts getting dwindling down, you're like, okay, so we covered more North Point games.
Right.
Obviously, Christian Salisbury was just a star on that team.
I remember
just
that.
Bless his heart to be passed to be shot and killed like he was a couple of years ago. That's just still a stunner to this day. But I made the state championship game. They lose to St. George's. So I made it to that game. But that still is what sits
with
me.
Talking about.
And it's my son.
That's what I'm saying, man.
It's my son that remembers all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Dad, you may have only seen two of my games, but you knew every play that was made because of how many fathers I messed with on the phone. Okay, what's
that's
going on?
That's got to mean everything to you.
Third and seven? Yep. What happened to you? And he's like, how many dads would take 30 minutes when they have an hour dinner break and you got to drive 20 minutes each way? How many dads are going to jump in a car for 25 minutes? And that's what I did. I also remember when he won a state title in competitive baseball, it was in Tupelo, and it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday tournament. It was the state finals. And I worked with Glenn Carver. He gave me those days off. And wouldn't you know, the first day gets rained out.
Mm.
So it becomes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And my son, I was like, it's no big deal. Are we going to, I know we're good, but are we really going to play for this? And don't you know that they win like six games? It goes to Sunday. And the semifinals are in the morning and the championship is at night. And I have to work at night. Oh. So of course I call Glenn knowing he's going to be, man, hey, I understand. I got you. But he had already made plans based on my Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I watch the semifinal, I fly home, and I miss him lead off that game, doubling off the top of the wall, but he stood at home plate because he thought he had hit his first home run ever, and he wound up getting a single. I think I said a single off the top, but they wound up winning a state championship, and
wow.
All of that I lived strictly through his mom and my daughter at the time. And so those are the things, and I don't want to put the spotlight on me that it only happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, you've been through it. John, you go through it too when you decide to do the things that you do. But every person that you see out there, whether it's a beat writer, whether it's a TV reporter, whether it's a sports guy, those people are giving up so much of their time.
Yeah.
Holidays that all of us take for granted, that's another thing I'm looking forward to, is not having to pick and choose which ones I get off and not, because TV is 24/7. It's
yes,
all the
it
time.
Is.
And you know, over the last week or so, I've started realizing that, you know, those missed opportunities, you don't get back.
That's
and
right.
For my grandson right now, I don't want to have any of those. So,
well, I think that's the part that, you know, the average viewer, right, the average Memphian that tunes in to WREG News Channel 3 and they see you and they love you and they get to know you and they just like, man, Mike's the best. I want to be that. I want to be Mike Sadie. I want to be a television sports, you know, like that. I'm sure you hear that all the time. Like, I wish I was... I could do what you do. I think there's just this lack of fundamental understanding of just how much it's not as glamorous as it looks on that broadcast. You know, I think that's the thing about you that you know, you and I have known each other for a long time since I came into the business. Like, you were around when I came into the business for everything, every stupid midweek press conference you were there for, every game you were there for, every exhibition and I'm not nearly as present as I used to be, right? I mean, I got this, I got my kids, I'm just not nearly, you still are. And I think there is so much A, value in that as a professional, but B, like you said, it's not glamorous because it takes you out of doing the things you really want to do.
Well, the other thing that I explain to people more than anything else is that I use the Wizard of Oz analogy, is that you never see what's going on behind the curtain. And that's for all of us. When you're in the TV business, you live your life at certain times throughout the day, regardless of circumstance. If your kids are sick or your wife is sick or you're not feeling, you have to be in front of that camera. And in my case, was thankful that 100, 150, 200,000 people are watching at that time.
Yep.
But you don't know what it takes to get to that point.
100%.
And when you're a sports person, look, I understand how lucky I was. I understand how lucky I was to interview LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Ja, Jaren, Mike Conley, the core four, to be there from the moment FedEx Forum opened. And every event, every sports event that's ever been in that building, I've either been there or covered it. That's being fortunate, especially since when we heard the Grizzlies were coming, I literally laughed back in 2000. I was like, George Lapidus said it was coming, and the guy got everything right. And I was like, I don't know about this one, but it's true.
He always did.
So this past Monday was Grizz Media Day, and I was doing something on campus at Memphis, but I wanted to get to Media Day, and I didn't care if I had missed Ja and Jaren and those. I literally walked the bowels of FedEx Forum, just because it was going to be my last time as a sportscaster. And you see they had a marquee up there that says, "Welcome to Media Days, Grizzlies 2025, 26. And I'm like, I took a moment just to look at that and go, I've been to everyone. Everyone in this city, I've been to everyone.
That's unbelievable.
And now I'm going to be, like Jarvis has done so well, is just allow yourself to be a fan.
That's
and
right.
I still hope I can talk sports to anybody who's ever wanted to see me or didn't want to bother me. Please bother me, because I'm losing out on what's been my identity for so long in this town.
That's right.
And but going back to that, is that a lot of people don't understand that work that goes into it. You know, we have two minutes and 45 seconds at 6 and 2 minutes at 30. So you wind up doing a little over five minutes in a day. And they're like, dude, 5 minutes in a day? What are you doing for 8 or 9 hours a day? Everything you see, I don't care what market you're in, what city.
That's right.
Everything you see a sports person do, they've done that. Taking nothing away from our reporters and anchors, they have a hard job and they fill way more time than we do. But every word, every piece of video, everything you see on the web, since I've been here, I've done it. Colin and I have done it.
Glenn
and I have done it, because that's what our responsibility is.
Yep.
Our boss has said, look, sports is yours.
Yep.
And congratulations, you get to talk sports, but all of it is yours.
Right. That's right.
And
it falls to you.
And the grind that Tony Allen made famous, I was like, thank you, Tony, because we've been through it a lot. And really, I just want to make sure that everybody does this. Maybe have a little bit better of an appreciation when you watch TV, how hard those people work for that 1 minute that they're on TV.
100%.
Or if you're an anchor, you're on more than that. The weather is a little – sports guys more than that. But, man, the hustle that we have to do to get things done
– Yep.
It's not just, man, you got to talk to John Jaren.
Yeah, you get to show up and somebody else cuts the video and then you just get to talk over it.
Right.
You got to go. You got to shoot it. Right. Then you got to edit it. Then you got to come up with a script. And then you got to do all this in a minute. And then that's your entire day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that's what, you know, there should be an appreciation for that, because that's damn hard.
But you know what? It was the greatest job in the world for me for 35 years. I started in small market Lake Charles, Louisiana. People know it now because of McNeese's run last year and Sincere Parker being here and all that kind of stuff. And then in Beaumont, Texas, it was a, you know, mid-major, like market 140 or whatever, but I covered 3 Super Bowls there. And I realized what you needed to be to be around Sal Palantonio or these guys that you would bump into covering Super Bowls. And then got here in 97, was 2 weeks before Peyton took the Tennessee Vols to the Orange Bowl. And I'm like, guys, that's my hometown. Are you going to let me come to Memphis and go home? That's awesome. I didn't get a chance to go home on the move. They're like, no, you're not coming to this one. Well, I got them back because a year later, T. Martin went to Tempe and led Tennessee to the national title, and I was there for that one.
Wow.
So, I mean, there are fantastic moments that I think sometime down the road I will process. Like, people ask me about it, and there's so many that I'm forgetting because there's just been so many.
It's a reel.
Yeah, and it's a reel in your – it's just a reel in the head. And, but I do remember, you know, being in the Bahamas and looking around and seeing the beat writers and looking around and going, man, we're the only TV station here. And the story that nobody knows with that, me and Jeff get off the airplane in the Bahamas and we go off, boom, like 7 security from the airport in the Bahamas stops us because we didn't let anybody know we were bringing in our camera to shoot the Tigers. And they're like, oh, no, you can't bring this stuff in here. And we're supposed to catch the Tigers getting on the bus in 35 minutes or something. And I'm like, how are we supposed to know that you're not allowing a camera to come in here?
Right.
And I'm like,
that's wow.
And I'm Cuban, so I almost lost my ever-loving mind. And we were able to finagle our way out of it, but me and Jeff were looking at each other going, did we just fly to the Bahamas, have to turn around and go back? It's little stories like that that you remember.
Yeah, that's and you're going to continue to. I remember covering Josh every day, and you know, after about 5-6 years of covering him, I could almost predict what was going to come out of his mouth. I'm saying that to ask you, coach. I don't care, high school, college coach, if it was a Tigers coach, if it was a Grizzlies coach, that whose press conferences maybe you never got tired of going to. In terms of, I mean, and we've had some characters over the years, but and I'm not saying, and I'm certainly not taking a shot at Josh here, but my point is that's what I'm asking. Like, has there been one, maybe one of your favorites that when we're going through that grind because of what this guy said or the way that he delivered you, you loved covering him. That's why I'd extend it to high school because you were always covering those guys too.
Yeah, obviously Cal was fantastic. Whether you were at practice or you were after
he'd
a game.
He'd hold us all in the palm of his hand
and he knew how to work it. Yeah. He knew how to little right jab there, that person, left jab there.
It's a pro level.
And I mean, then when they made that run, it was national. So
that's right.
That kind of stuff. But I remember – they lose to Missouri in the Sweet 16 in Arizona, and we're right there, and there's a bunch of people, and they go, okay, and I'm the one that asked him about the Kentucky rumors, about what's going on. We're hearing your name mentioned that it's already – and he gave the coach speak answer, I love Memphis, blah, blah, blah. And they got home, and the helicopters came, and he snuck out of his house. And, again, I know that Tiger fans hate that story, but who's going to turn down Kentucky? No, I mean – but. I'll tell you one other one, and there's so many of them.
I mean,
Jason.
Dude, I know. Yeah, and I know it's I'm putting you on the spot, and you've covered them all.
But that's a tough question. But I remember in the pyramid when Hubie Brown was the coach of the Grizzlies, and he got thrown out of a game. And I don't know how many he had before or how many he had after, but he got thrown out of the game. And then we're in a little room, kind of like your studio here. It wasn't very big in the pyramid. We were interviewing him, and somebody asked him about. Getting thrown out, and that they, we had heard that he cursed, and Hubie Brown, there was no cursing, at that time. And so that in my head is just, there's these little fragments of sentences that I remember through 28 years, but him looking at his age, and then later we were at Rhodes College, and somebody's phone kept going off in their pocket, and they thought that they had turned it off, and Hubie gave you that scowl the first time, and the second time, he just threw up his hands, walked away. But Cal was always one of those guys that it never mattered to me if I had to get up really early to go do something with him or stay really late, because he was going to make it worth your while.
Right.
And he did not care what anybody thought. It was about him, Memphis, and his program, and he was going to do whatever he could to, win a national championship. And we came so close. But if we don't get Cal, we don't get Penny. We don't get the resurgence of the program. And I know Penny's trying to get it back up to that level. But, when Cal comes in here with Arkansas, I think it was a fantastic thing to do. And some of those players coming back, because let's not forget that that's kind of where it started. If we don't land him, we stay in those little doldrums for a while.
Could have gotten really ugly.
It could have.
To your point.
And then for Penny to say, you know what? This is my town. I know that I have coaching to learn, but I want to take over this program. And he has gradually learned every year what he needs to do to get better. And I know that there's more steps to take. You guys talk about it every day. The expectation that Penny wants and we all want is like Kentucky and Kansas and Houston. The NCAA tournament should be no doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. That's where Memphis needs to get. And I think Penny's going to get him here. I just wish he didn't have to put a 15-man team together every offseason.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's tough. We're talking to the great Mike Sadie. His last sportscast on WREG News Channel 3 was last night. One more on you. The TV business is turnover, right? Like, that's what it is. I mean, not necessarily. It's just to climb the ladder, right? You go from Beaumont, Texas, to Memphis, to Orlando. I mean, that's right. Like, that's kind of the – and you got here in 97. I assume you could have done that. You had opportunities to do that. Why did you – it seems like make the conscious decision to stay here?
Well, it wasn't. It's a pretty simple answer. I never even looked to leave. And the reason was I got divorced when my kids were so little and I wasn't going to be a part-time dad. Mm. I even told my ex at the time, and we're very good friends, that, look, if you try to take my kids, then I'm going to go wherever that is. I don't care if I have to do garbage or whatever. Respect. I wanted to be an everyday dad. We're all parents, and so, that's the only thing that matters to me. And I realized that I had to put the priority on my family. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But so when I came here, and that happened, and I realized, you know what, this city has embraced me. And like I've said, it's very hard to be a South Florida kid that dabbled in Louisiana and dabbled in Texas. But when I got here, I didn't think that this was going to be home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't think you're going to get divorced, but you do. But then it was like, you know, yeah, it's easy to say you want to be a dad, but the periphery makes it easy too. The job is good. The station is good. The people I work with are good. I'm doing a good job. But I'll tell you what, nothing feels better than when somebody says, man, you put my son's touchdown, man. I love,
yep.
You know, the Grizzlies, man, that call you made. It's those little things that make you realize, you know, we're not doctors. We don't save lives and things like that. But to make people smile or to be energized by a team and to be kind of part of that buildup to what the Grizzlies did with the Core Four and the Western Conference Finals, what the Tigers football team did in 2019, to be a small part of that, you know, is something that just kept me here. And I was like, and then it started being the beatdown that our city takes over and over and over and over and over. And I was like, just come here. This is a kid that came here at 28 years old. And now I call this home. Not South Florida where my family is, but this is home now.
Yep.
So now I take offense to all these pot shots that people want to take because none of those people are here. Chandler Parsons stole money from us and then has an outside perspective of who does and doesn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break, dude. So
You're one of us.
You know, the 901 runs deep with me, and that's why I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be around here. I want to see the successes of all these teams that I kind of grew up covering. And I want to see Ryan take these guys to the college football playoff. I want to see Penny take 15 guys that no one really knows about. Let's get another top five seed. Let's make the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Let's start doing those things, and then I can say, maybe I was the jinx. Let me step away, and then things get really, really good.
I have to ask you this because I don't know him as well as I'd like to know him, but I know that you got to know him. You mentioned Glenn Carver. I'm curious about a lot of things. I'll frame it this way. Like you guys' relationship working together, how much did he influence you? You guys rub off on each other. I just when you guys were together, that team that y'all had, again I'd go back to pro, just the job that you guys did together. I'm just curious. You talked about calling him and asking for time off. So I guess at some point he's your boss there.
No, he's the sports director. No, he was.
And so I'm curious. That relationship with him, how much did he rub off on you? Influence you? What was that? Did y'all get into fights? Just that relationship.
No. The one thing about Glenn was I've never met somebody that was so into the job.
Dude, he was intense because he wanted to get the job done so
again,
well,
like,
right?
That's
Glenn Carver.
That's right. Like you guys. Yeah. He's from here.
Yes.
So to be able to be the sports director at a good station, and let's remember when I got there and Glenn was there, we were second behind Channel 5 by a large margin. Yeah. And now when he was able, what we were able to do as a small part of the bigger picture was to move to number one in the market. But the one thing about Glenn that didn't rub off on me, but now I appreciate it more, is it's he was always a person that never said no to anybody. So if he was doing the stuff that we're doing today, you know, I'm like, that's going to be hard because of this, or this. It was, there was no ever this, or this. He just said, yeah, we can do it.
He'd find a way to get it.
We can do it. And again, I'm not the only one that missed a lot of things because Glenn was always there.
Yeah, man.
But then he also pushed that down on me in terms of, man, what do you mean there's nothing going on? Get out there, talk to some coaches, find some stories. And that's how I found some stories. But he made me understand that if you want to be number one, that's great. But then staying number one means elevating the bar every day. So the people that I helped hire when I was named sports director, that was the first thing I told them. It was like, look, people behind me set this bar here. We can't let it slip. And, you know, those were some of my conversations with Colin now, who's done a great job with me for 3 years. And, you know, whoever that team becomes, they need to understand that this is the expectation.
Absolutely.
And
I
have
the bar's been so high with you guys.
I totally respect what Doc and what Matt and everybody do at Channel 5. Because let's remember, we're kind of a lost breed. Channel 13 doesn't do it anymore.
No,
Channel 24 right now is not doing it right now as they try to, but they came down to one. So we battle, but we're kind of in that fraternity.
Yeah.
And us included. You know, the
No, but you guys especially. I'm with you. You guys.
And that's one of the things that when I got home and I was like, I cannot believe I missed that, or I couldn't do this and I couldn't do this. And then you realize, but you know, you did that story and that went viral and you're the one that talked to Cal about that and you did this and you did that. You realize, okay, you know what? At least at the end it was worth it. And all that was Glenn. And again, he learned from George, but he, there's something special about working in your hometown. Colin talks about it all the day as a CBHS grad and being able to come home. He never thought that he'd be able to come home, at least this early in his career. Now, the one thing I am sick and tired of is everybody saying, man, I used to watch you when I was a kid, John Martin.
No, I was just saying, you're synonymous.
No, you know? I'm just saying, it's like, I know that I've been here a long time, but it means something. And when you're in your hometown, it meant something. And then for me, it became that because this, again, is my adopted hometown. So everything that started happening is, you know, yeah, I do have to show the highlights of you guys getting beat down by 55. It's not something I want to do, but that's my job. But, man, when you beat somebody down by 55, those highlights get longer because that allows me to kind of, you know, puff the chest out and win Memphis across it. And, you know, like I said, I'm not going anywhere because this is home. It's just going to be kind of a weird transition. But I think something I'm going to like in being able to talk to you guys and then knowing, oh, you guys got to go to work today or tomorrow to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I just have to go to whatever job my next one is. Well, and maybe I do need to talk to guys here. Maybe I can just come on every once in a while.
That's right. Dude. Well, I will say it feels like everybody that's made that jump from media to post-media, they always seem very happy.
No, a lot of them have said that.
They seem like they're
and they've called
life.
Me. And I'm like, yeah, it's happy now because you guys know what you're doing. And I know, like I said, I've always been blessed and I'm going out on faith no matter what it is.
Yep.
I will land on my feet and I know it will be worth it. I mean, you see my grandson's picture on my phone. I just have to look at that. And my daughter and my son-in-law and my girlfriend and partner, you know, you don't get to spend time with them. Now I will.
Yeah.
And that's really what I'm looking forward to. And then being able to watch, you know, Channel 3 continue to do the stories that build up these teams that I followed for so long. I mean, the amount of people that have responded to me, coaches and especially the coaches that have said thank you. And, you know, I kind of just like, man, no, thank you, because you're the one that are building up the young men in our community. And I'm just able to talk to about the highlights. But, you know, Anthony Jones, who left here and you know, was at different places, he just took the time to say thank you for what you're doing for Memphis. And if there's anything that I want people to remember is that this became home, and I was never more prideful than to rep the 901 no matter where I was.
You, man, you brought it full circle, but and you tied it together for me because I don't know whether it was Glenn Carver, Jarvis, now Doc Holliday, like you mentioned, the guys that are from here have done that job. You have to with a level of pride, right, that's produced excellence. You did that as an outsider coming to Memphis. You took that baton and you did it like a Memphian. I don't know that there's a greater comment than I can hear. You did it and you helped. You did it with a pride and you did it like one of us, just like you were born here. I don't know that there's a higher compliment I can pay you than you're just like, and you've been just like, and we'll revere you in the same way that we've revered those men.
Well, I think it made it easy because I never planned to use a parachute. I never planned for Memphis to be Lake Charles or Beaumont, married or not. You know, things happen for a reason. And once I got into it, you know, and realized how special this city could be, more than that, how special the city made me feel.
Yeah.
There was no, and my kids, they loved it here, and we grew up here, and they went to games here, and, you know, my son and daughter still tell me, how come you couldn't get free tickets to playoff games? I was like, because I can't. So, you know what? Now they're working and they're realizing, that's how much they cost.
That's right.
Now they know.
You know, to be prideful about a city that's not your home, I think it's hard to do. And
special.
But I never wanted to.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.